All right, you're all set, Harm.
Okay, welcome to the study group of the Sealed Book of Mormon. It's 15 of April. Oh, sorry.
May.
2022. We're at Acts of the Three Nephites, chapter 14. Last chapter, very interesting about the olive tree, allegory of Zenos. We're at verse 16. Yeah, very interesting passage. Previous time we talked about the canopy of the olive, which foreshadowed the nation's leaders in their entirety. This is, for me, very interesting with the news in the world right now, with and I love this, I wanted to mention in the last part of 15. It's painful to think that this dedicated generation of new branches, which is still tender, while the canopy of my olive tree perishes and will not have the strength in itself to keep my fruits in the good olive tree. And this part that I took care of so much all these days. Can you feel the love? And I love that Jesus is addressing us so personally. That we have so much to save, you know, that it's so valuable, all these peoples, all these children of God, and it says the nation's leaders in their entirety was dying. So we have a lack of good leadership in this last part of the second, do I say that right now? The final part of the last days. So we're at verse 16. Maybe we can start if, or somebody must have something to say before, after the...
I have a little something to say because you were just going a bit through the last verse we talked about. And then there's a footnote, Jacob 5, verse 6.
Yes.
So, and then I looked that up in the...
Book of Mormon?
Not the Book of Mormon, but... the app of the church, and then the English script of the LDS church, the app, and you can find also the scriptures there. And I looked up Jacob 5 in English this time, and then here it speaks about the canopy in verse 15 in the Acts of the Three Nephites, and then in verse 6, Jacob 5, it talks about the top. And it says, and it came to pass that after many days, it began to put forth somewhat a little young and tender branches. But behold, the main top thereof began to perish. And then you can click on top because it has a footnote. And it refers to Luke 3, verse 9. And I would like to read verse 9 because it says... also verse 8 and 9. Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And then verse 9, and now the axe is laid unto the root of these trees. Every tree therefore which bringeth not good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. So there's a new addition to the story of the olive tree, I think that that was the axe. And yeah, we have to look out for the axe, because you know you can be hewed down.
But God, God is cutting down also branches, and it has to do with the he loves the garden, so he is pruning his garden. Then the...
Well, this is not pruning. See, the axe is
laid on the foot of the trees.
Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit, is hewed down and cast into the fire. So that's not the ending that's going on. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I found that interesting reference, especially with the top and the canopy, and then the axe. These are my thoughts.
Okay. Maybe we can start now with reading verse 16. Maybe Lisa would like to start.
Yeah, I can start. All right, verse 16. It happened then that the Babylonians came, like branches of a wild olive tree, to be grafted among the nation of Israel. For how much the main branches that were beginning to dry up were destroyed by the fire, when the king of Babylon took captive many of the new and tender branches in order to graft them, according to the words of the Lord of the vineyard. And I will graft them whithersoever I will, for though the nation of Babylon will perish, as it were prophesied, the owner of the vineyard should preserve its fruit from the mixture of races that would occur between the Jews and the Gentiles. Therefore, they were captives of this nation to fulfill the purpose of the Lord of the vineyard, to take from among the nations of the earth some new and tender branches of the house of Jacob, and to graft them where it should be.
Thank you. Any thoughts?
So this is talking about when in, I think it was what's, oh, I don't remember exactly, but it's when Daniel and the other prophets that were growing ended up being taken by the king of Babylon into Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar was the king, and he took those prophets over the escape, and everything was destroyed.
Yes.
I'm grateful.
Go ahead.
I'm grateful God is such a good gardener to be able to preserve his planting, and he has so much skill. And so we are the benefit. We are the ones who have benefited from all the work he's done over the years. And now he's trying to bring forth that good fruit in abundance too in our day. So that's really encouraging to me, knowing we have a master planter with great skill and doing his work. And I hope we can be those plantings and shoots that bring forth much fruit.
I also, I mean, I like that analogy, Tyler, too, to apply it to our time. You know, we have some corrupt leaders going on right now, and perhaps we can be the same. Like, it's kind of brilliant, you know, so, you know, God's got Daniel and maybe Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, whatever, all those people. He takes them away. Now they are in captivity. They have no leadership at all to guide them. They have wicked king ruling over them, but they have no, you know, Hebrew leader or whatever. They have to rely solely on God and maybe the scriptures if they were able to take them out. And so that's a good analogy to us is, you know, just rely on those scriptures, rely on God and get that direct wisdom. And that way Heavenly Father was able to guide them, bring them up just how he wanted them, not with the corruption.
The last sentence there also, it talks about the captives taken from the among the nations of the earth. They'll be grafted in to fulfill the purposes of the Lord. There's a scripture on my wall that I, hanging on the wall, it's Doctrine and Covenants 45. I think it's probably the same in the LDS, that says, it shall come to pass that the righteous shall be gathered out from among all nations and come shall come to Zion and sing with songs of everlasting joy. So you can see where some, these scriptures sort of fit in with each other, and what point of time you're looking at when these things begin to happen. But you can see where the one I just read from 45, that God is preserving his people, and we need to be prepared for that, to be open to the people that the Lord brings.
Yes, thank you. It's interesting, the proxy thing happening first in the nation and then the nations, which time we are in now. So it prefigures what happens to Israel in the big now. So Tyler, would you read the next verse, 17?
Okay. And it came to pass in the days of those kings that Daniel, the servant of the Lord, became master of the magicians, astrologers from the east, and came to teach his princes and noble confederates and vassals, among whom were many Jews, which have passed their knowledge for your children, spreading from generation to generation their knowledge of astrology, even among the many synagogues that were erected in the land of the east. When then the Lord of the vineyard went to hide the natural branches of the good olive tree in the nethermost parts of the vineyard, some in one part, others in another, spreading these apprentices of the wisdom of Daniel, the prophet, according to his pleasure and will.
Isn't that great? According to his pleasure and will. So, and how important the knowledge of astrology must have seemed to these people, and how prideful we think in the times we live now with all the technique that we would not need that as a confirmation of the scriptures, and that one person, Daniel, would be able to hide of the Lord, hides these branches. That's also interesting. I think it's all over the Book of Mormon also. Why this timing thing? Why not reveal more at the same time sometimes, or did we have to wait for people to repent and or ourselves to be able to discern? So, any thoughts on this verse?
Yeah, I smile with the wisdom of being hidden in plain sight to do as he wanted, whenever he wanted, in all of the synagogues of his children, to be taught by who better than Daniel. I wonder how much we really don't know about astrology today compared to what they did know. It makes me scratch my head to think about what more is there that we don't know. They talk about, you know, the signs in the heavens. They talk about, you know, forecasting and prophecy and things related to heaven. And I'm just wondering, I'm not an astrology person. Imagine there's a great deal or a great wealth of information that we still don't understand as well as they do or did, particularly if they were taught by the heavens through Daniel.
Exactly. Why this pre-emphasis? I never had this idea when I grew up. I had a Protestant background. But okay, there was this star with Jesus. But that is that whole part of it, of studying whole centuries of other people, which first are put aside to be studying the heavens. It must be very significant knowledge to have an idea of the whole. That's my understanding lately, that God wants us to have an idea of the whole thing. So in the small feelings, which you cannot see, but there are these feelings, and the big things surrounding you, which also rotate around each other. So if he's a living God, he's a moving God. This is what I contemplate a lot, that he's on the move. It's not finished, the work, and his marvelous work and strange work. We are only beginning to appreciate that he wants us to know. And I always thought there are people for that stuff. I only have to do my part. But it's probably he wants us to know, really know, not only be obedient and follow the law, but understand the law, know the law, know even astrology. So I'm catching up on that.
I'd like to talk for a moment on that subject.
Please.
We need to be careful of the term astrology. Today it's been corrupted. It's not what was referred to in the past. It's not what you read in the newspaper about your horoscope. Astrology is, I think John Pratt was trained in astronomy. And I think a lot of cases it's better to use the term astronomy instead of astrology because of the negative connotations today. But one of the things that I find fascinating is that God named, the Bible says that God named the stars. He let Adam name the animals. But in the names of the stars is embedded the gospel. And there's a number of authors in the last century wrote about this. I think John has an article on his website about it, and you can read about it. But there is, for example, the zodiac has 12 constellations or 12 signs of the zodiac, and each have four constellations. But if you want something that's very interesting, each of the constellations, from a Christian perspective, tells some aspect of the gospel, from the birth of Christ through his crucifixion, the resurrection, the final judgment, and the final triumph over evil. And it's fascinating to think that. And so what's happened is that, like a lot of things, the satanic aspect has taken over, and people think of astrology in a very negative way, where, you know, it was mentioned, I think, that it was for science, that God put the stars and the planets in there for signs and seasons and so on. And that's what the sealed book says that the three wise men were looking for, were these things that God had already predicted in the heavens. Not that we use the heavens to predict the future, we just read what God put there. Like, that's his Bible. Before there was written verses, Adam didn't have a written Bible, and the early people, it was recorded in the heavens. I mean, this is, if you follow this thinking, and I find it fascinating myself. And so I guess the stars were the Bible in the early generations of the earth, and today we have the written word. So there you go.
That's it. As above, so below.
Can I add a comment?
Yes. Go ahead, JT.
Yeah, I would like to, on Brother Bob's point, I agree. The astrology and the signs and the stars, you know, they're all created by God and they're all created for a purpose. And they do reveal the equations that are presented in this world. There are a lot of truths that are beyond my knowledge that reveal when a certain star makes a certain motion or when a planet lines up or when a comet comes through. There are certain things that those things are predicting things that are to come. I believe that in a sense, because even when Jesus was born, there was star alignments. And when Moses was born in the book of Jasher, there was certain I think there were certain alignments that happened there. So there is a truthfulness. And God himself spoke to Abraham and Daniel, you know, regarding stars and regarding the truthfulness about the cosmos and showed them how it works. But I think the best way to get that knowledge is either through the already revealed scriptures that came from heaven, or through God himself by the Holy Ghost, because he has the perfect knowledge, because everything else has been kind of tainted with. I believe there's a lot of truths out there that are being put, but everything has been tainted in a degree. So that's just my thoughts about it. Fully believe in it, but I wouldn't get too deep in it. I wouldn't place 100% of mine. Interest in it, but that's why we have this sealed book. It's showing us glimpses of this stuff, and there's so much more that we don't understand. That's all.
Thank you.
One thing I see in this verse is in the beginning it talks about Daniel as the servant of the Lord, and in the end of the verse it talks about him as a prophet. And this was a time of great catastrophe for the Lord's people. They were taken captive. Their city was destroyed. It was the judgments of God coming upon them for their wickedness and disobedience and breaking their covenants. And yet God, through this great, a difficult time, is able to preserve prophets and to preserve the continuation of that wisdom. And that's such a beautiful thing to me, that in the midst of this catastrophe, God is forming a new generation, and where that wisdom from heaven can be passed on. And we read the book of Daniel and see how that even the him being present in Babylon was such a great influence over the king, over the kingdom. It changed history. And isn't it marvelous to see what God can do, even in the midst of the punishment and the judgment over his people, that he has a marvelous plan that he's unfolding, which includes a preservation of his word and wisdom and revelation, and working with prophets, living prophets. So that's an encouragement to me to know here was Daniel, and maybe he needed, kind of alluding to what Lisa mentioned earlier, maybe Daniel needed to be taken away out of that corrupt canopy so that he could really grow directly with the Lord's influence in his life, and even to suffer those persecutions and the things that he had to go through in order for the Lord to create a great prophet out of Daniel. So that, and I'm reminded of how Jesus said that his people in the last days would have to go into a wilderness so that their faith in these words would be tested. And that is, I hope we don't underestimate the value of the afflictions and the persecutions and the things we suffer, because God is creating in each one of us something extremely beautiful. That is his work, and it's wonderful to be a part of that.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think John Paul Pratt was an apprentice of the wisdom of Daniel.
For sure. For sure. He has many interesting stuff written about that. And we only begin to appreciate his work, I think. Okay, let's go to verse 18. Let's see. Steve, would you read that?
I'd be glad to. I'll get my phone to operate. Let me see. And it came to pass that a long time went by, and the Lord of the vineyard said unto his servant, come, let us go to the vineyard and to work on it. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard and also the servant went down into the vineyard to work. It was when the words of Isaiah, both excited and researched in the east, were fulfilled through teaching propagated by Belshazzar in the wisdom schools of Babylon, where they studied the scriptures with all peoples in relation to the future descendant. And up until even among the instructed rabbis of the Hebrew people in their respective synagogues in the distant lands of Israel.
Thank you. Any thoughts, Steve?
Well, it's more about taking care of his scattered children through those that were hidden in plain sight. But they're bringing in teaching about the future descendant through that same channel of scattered teaching.
Isn't that great? That it's all, even if it's, all the bad stuff going around, they were searching to get this identification, you know, who's that person? Who is that? Who are they talking about? I think this is so interesting in relation to identification nowadays, that the youth don't know who they are. They're constantly being thrown apart and kept in the dark, about their identity. And here they were studying with all peoples.
Yes.
In relation to the future descendants. So all civilization is pointing somewhere at this Messiah figure and must be very specific instructions how to be able to discern the heavens, to know to go to the house of David there in even the land of Jerusalem in Bethlehem. So it has been, I begin to realize lately that it has been all along, all over the world, people have looked to this Messiah, which would fulfill all the laws ever given to man. If it is in writing or mathematics or in the stars and all the things to come.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was looking at this and you're right. That's the most powerful statement in there, I think, is with all people in relation to the future descendant. And then imagining what some of the hardcore people that were there before, even the rabbis, these new things were being taught. So I see that as being very clever.
Yeah, and it's so interesting to think, because Belshazzar is Daniel, and Daniel was the master of the magician astrologers from the East. So he must have had so much knowledge, especially about Isaiah, because in the East, it was both recited and researched.
The it's also interesting, Isaiah. Recited, it's also interesting. We yeah. tend to, it's much more concrete than we tend to think when we read and ponder personally our scriptures. But I think the whole culture of language then, the reciting, the knowing of the, by heart of these important prophets was probably much more around than we tend to think. The physicalness of the word, the speaking of the word, the sounding of the one reading, if you don't speak, in some cultures it was forbidden to read. You only were allowed to speak the text with people with surrounding you, that it was considered egocentric to have scripture and read it for yourself. Somebody else?
Anyway, yeah, Belshazzar had, Daniel had more knowledge about that than the magician astrologers. So he must have had a pretty big knowledge. And then again, the wisdom schools come again. And I wonder which wisdom schools are these, because Nimrod also had schools of wisdom, right? So I was
these
wondering.
These are the good schools. These are the good schools because they were led by Daniel.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the righteous schools that he is okay. teaching. So he must have been, like you said, pretty amazing to get yeah. the trust of the people. And this is a long time went by. So, and as we go on to read, you know, he passed on, but those wisdom schools continued to teach and prepare people to look to the heavens to know when Messiah was coming.
Yeah. Thank you, Lisa.
But, and, you know, it's just like, I love the sealed book because it talks about, I mean, we learn that anything that's good is replicated by Satan and turned into bad. So I think it's these wisdom schools that are really good that Daniel started that are then replicated and turned into bad by Satan throughout time.
So, yes. Yeah. And for free. We read the next one, which is related. Brother Keckler?
Yes. Verse 19, which had been grafted into the wild olive tree, and for this reason, they learned to map the heavens so that they could identify that star that had been foretold by the prophets does not belong to the starry skies, for how much its manifestation in the night sky would foreshadow the birth of the promised descendant among men on earth.
Thank you. You want to comment?
Just amen to that verse.
Amen.
That was a great event in the course of human history that they identified that time.
It's a very explicit statement. They learned to map the heavens to identify the time of the birth of Christ. Am I right?
Oh, that's right. If you sometimes you learn that a new comet has been discovered in the heavens, in the skies. And there's competition among amateur astronomers today from around the world to do just what this verse said. They take pictures with their cameras of the stars, of the skies, a certain area, and then they'll compare it with a picture they took the night before, or the week before, or the month before. And they're by they have computer software that does this for them. And when they see a new point of light on their photos, then they study that. And once they confirm that that's a new star, most likely a new comet, then they'll submit it to the proper authorities, and they'll attach their name to it to try to get that comet named after themselves if it's one that hasn't been discovered before. And so they use that same process that they did thousands of years ago. They still use it today, just a little more sophisticated.
It's interesting with the whole news thing, news scoop, fake news, that you can identify, that you have to verify, be able to verify. That's why we need a law. And I also think about what Jesus said earlier, remember the precedents among you. So that if Isaiah told us something, he's not going to tell us again. It's the same with the stars, I realize now, with the scriptures. So we have to understand and learn and study to be able to identify who we are and what we're reading and what we're looking at and what we're hearing. Also, I'm thinking, any other thoughts?
Just one thought. I remember a while back hearing someone say, in reference to the prophecy of Jesus and the star appearing, that if a new star appeared in the heavens tonight, I wouldn't know it. It all looks the same to me. But here the Maya, and I don't know if they were a Book of Mormon people or not, but they were very intensely studying the stars, similar to these people in the East. And I wonder if there was something, wasn't something to that, because we do have scriptures in the Book of Mormon to cause us to understand that they were paying attention to the signs that were given. So some of those signs are real blatant, like the day and the night and the day, which was one day. It's hard to miss that. And so, but yet the wise men from the East did follow all the way to Bethlehem. So it points out we need to probably pay attention to the details that God has placed in front of us, and or we might risk missing something. So I appreciate that.
Thank you. Okay. Let's go to 20. Would you read that, Balkia, verse 20?
These, then, were the natural branches of the good olive tree in a foreign land, and so did those branches of the olive tree that were brought and grafted into the good olive tree. All have borne fruit in their respective station and have mingled together. Ooh, mingle party.
Yeah, there's a good olive tree in a foreign land there. So maybe you have thoughts, Malky, you want to reflect?
Yeah, I also think it has to do with the 10 lost tribes, you know, and
this is before, huh?
This is before.
Oh, well, actually, yeah, it's going on already. You're right. It's already going on here.
It's a long process. And here we are.
Okay, maybe the next two. You read that one too, Balkia, 21? 21
and 22?
No, only 21.
And after a long time, a child is born in the land of Jerusalem, as prophesied by the ancient prophets, in the city of Bethlehem. And the people that walked in darkness saw a great light, and they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, yea, in the land of the east. The light of the morning shone upon them, proclaiming the coming of him that will be called by the name of Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Yeah, I always hear the young Messiah in my head if I hear Wonderful Counselor.
But that's so great. That's all in Isaiah. So people were hoping for these names. This is also, I learned to understand better now. Like what you said, Brother Keckler, with the Zodiac, it's an interesting article of Jean-Paul Brett about the roles of Christ in the Zodiac. And he even suggested some little modifications to understand it better. But that's part of our process now, I think, is getting to know who he is, who Christ really is, his role as creator, and all his what it says about all the noble sentiments that emanate from his name and names. So any other comments on these last verses?
Does anyone know what the land of the shadow of death is? Like, is that Babylon or Iraq? Or it seems like I've heard that being referenced to something before, and I don't know. Does anyone know?
I don't know that this applies, but for some reason I thought I should say it. Is that not the valley in Jerusalem, the Kidron Valley, where all the tombs are? I don't know if I've heard that somewhere. There's a big valley and it's filled with tombs. The valley of the shadow of death.
Okay.
Could be. Could be also symbolic, like what says in Psalm 23, as I walk in the shadow of death.
Yeah. I'm sure there are many layers to this.
Yeah.
Allegory.
So what you got to remember is when the darkness is coming, you get a probability to grow. And to stand firm and fast, and that it's especially with all the stress which comes with that, it doesn't have to happen. I believe it much more, lady. It doesn't. We let it come to that. If we are stand fast in the peace of Christ, as it says here, the Prince of Peace. If we could remember him always, we would not get angry. We would not be irritated. Maybe sometimes, but if it happens, it's always a learning moment. So you gotta learn to appreciate the whole learning thing about being here on Earth to learn. So may I read 22, and then I think we maybe close. And guided by this light was that the astrologer of the Orient took the way to the land of Israel, where the throne of David is set, as it prophesied, in search of the land of Naphtali, in the way of the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. So I love this because they took the way. We have to be guided by the light, but we have to put our how far do you say to walk the talk, as they say. We have to act and start walking in search of the land of Naphtali. Anybody know what they mean by in search of the land of Naphtali?
Isn't that one of the sons of Jacob? One of the 12 sons of Jacob is Naphtali. So is Bethlehem in the land of Naphtali? Does anyone know?
Well, Bethlehem is in Judea, I believe.
Oh, okay. So I'm wondering, I don't know. I don't know what that is.
I don't know either, but I thought Naphtali was further north near Nazareth. So that whole area, but it is a reference to a prophecy. Coming of Christ.
And that's right. That's probably true, what you say, Nazareth, that he was born there. And then later went to Bethlehem. Oh,
Naphtali, it's north of Zebulun and Issachar.
Okay.
And it's really central. It has a lot of, at one point it's Asher, then it's Naphtali, Dan, Manasseh, Zebulun, and Issachar. And Naphtali is in the middle of it all. I'm just looking at a picture right now of a map. So, yeah, it had a lot of contact with a lot of different tribes.
Cool.
Anyway, okay. Naphtali, yeah, interesting.
So, the throne of David. Yeah.
The Galilee of the nations. The Galilee of the nations. So that's Naphtali. But what does that even mean?
Okay. So, any more thoughts on this last verse before we draw to a close of the study portion? No. Oh, Jeannie is not there.
No. She's been gone the whole time, I think.
I guess we can have, what's his name? Cut it off right here. Like when he Russell does the recording, he can cut it off right here. And we'll just, go ahead and close things out.
So thank you, everybody. We'll go on next week with 23. You're gonna set the meeting up, Lisa, I heard. Do we need to call somebody to do the lesson, or what do you think?
Yeah. Is it okay if we, does anyone want to volunteer to lead the discussion next Sunday?
Steve, are you talking?
Yeah, I'm just mumbling to myself, looking at a calendar, trying to decide where I'm supposed to be. I'm using my cell phone for everything, hymns, scheduling, and trying to watch you guys. I think I can help with that next week.
Wonderful. Thank you. Does anyone want to do it the week after, or should we just do 1 week at a time? Yeah. Jake, are you comfortable enough to take another turn? Or do you know your schedule?
All right. Wait, did you just call me?
Oh, yeah, I just said, what about the week after? Would you be willing to teach JT?
Yeah.
I don't want to put you on the spot, but that'd be great.
Always like yeah. If there's the anything 29th. Left, if there's any leftover left of the 14th chapter. And you know what?
Oh, there will be.
That part hits a lot of juicy stuff. Yeah, I could do that one.
It's the 29th.
Yeah.
That is Memorial Day weekend. Some of you are traveling.
Oh, is that going to be okay for you, JT?
I don't have a memorial yet, so I'll be all right.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thanks, everyone. Let's have a closing prayer, and I believe Tyler said he would, right? Is that still okay if you give us our closing prayer, Tyler?
Good. Are we ready?
Yes, thank you.
Eternal Father, we're so grateful to you for sending us your word to teach us, to prepare us, to create new creatures in Christ after your image and likeness. We thank you that we can be led out of darkness into light, and for the herald that's just beginning now, but we pray that it would grow like the stone that's cut out of the mountain without hands and fill the whole earth. We pray like a mustard seed, which is small, could become a great tree for the birds to lodge in. Therefore, we ask that you would bless this work and your kingdom here on earth, and the bringing forth of your word, while it is yet tender, let it find place in our hearts to grow and develop and to change us. And give us the love for one another and the desire to find those who can benefit, who would be willing to receive your word. We ask your blessing upon each one this week as we go about our daily tasks, that you would be with us, that we'd remember you, and that we would keep your commandments. And look forward to the time of meeting again. We pray that you would establish your promises in us firmly and lead us in your paths. Bless each one as we go, and we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you. Oh,
Jeannie.
Hey.
We just got the closing prayer, so you can stop the recording.
Okay.